Thank you, Brother Matthew Bennett. Thank you. It is now our opportunity, brothers and sisters, to listen to those most necessary words of exhortation. And we have the privilege of listening to our brother Peter Owens this morning. Brother Peter, please.
Thank you, brother, and good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been with the young people this weekend, as it were, from my home in Mumbles, Wales, joining with the Shawnigan Youth Conference, where we've been studying together the book of Daniel and the character of Daniel. And we've looked at the first five chapters. So I hope you'll understand that this morning we aren't going to look at the daily readings to draw exhortation, but we're going to focus on Daniel chapter 6. Would you open your Bibles there? Where we read that following the fall of Babylon, it pleased Darius, Daniel 6 and verse 1, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Now, the Revised Version tells us that Daniel was one. And I think that's important for us to recognize that Daniel is one of the three presidents that were over the 120 princes. And we soon discover that Daniel, verse 3, was preferred above them. And that word preferred is an interesting word when we look it up. Strong's tells us it's the word glittering. So this Daniel was glittering above the presidents and the princes. There was something in his character that, for all the strength of these individuals, which we shall sadly see was tragic worldly wisdom, this man stood out. He had a glittering character. He shone brighter than them all. Because, verse 3 tells us, in him was an excellent spirit. Now, this idea of an excellent spirit tells us everything we need to know about Daniel. In him was this excellent spirit. I want you to keep a marker, but I want you to come back with me to Proverbs. Now, we understand that Daniel 6 is written in Aramaic or Chaldean, the language of the Gentiles, but we also recognize that when you look up the words, that there's a Hebrew equivalent. We're told by the scholars that that's a reasonable thing for us to do, that the language is able to be comparable. So, and when we look up this phrase, excellent spirit, in Daniel chapter 6, we come across it in Proverbs 17. And we wonder that it gives us just a little divine insight into the character of Daniel. Where in verse 27 of Proverbs 17 we read, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So there's our phrase, is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So this excellent spirit found in Daniel, we're going to suggest, is because he is this man of understanding who is bright enough to spare his words. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. Now, you remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on trial, held his peace. He was the greatest man of understanding, the man of knowledge. And we wonder that there's something of an insight into the character of Daniel. That as those before him all railed and wanted their voices to be heard, this wise old man had an excellent spirit. He was a man of wisdom and understanding. And it's just interesting to note, when you look at this phrase, excellent spirit, just look in your margin next to verse 27, where it says excellent spirit, and look in the margin, and you'll see that the margin tells you, or a cool spirit. And I wonder again that there's something there of Daniel's character. that in the face, in Daniel chapter 6, of exceptional adversity, he carried on coolly, as it were, as he did aforetime. And perhaps, brethren and sisters, there's exhortation for us there, in that if we're to have this excellent spirit in us, we need to go, as it were, just coolly, not as hotheads, but quietly, going about our business, as we should be doing each day, irrelevant if people are watching, as he did aforetime. That's the spirit of Daniel. Now come back to Daniel chapter 6, and we just want to note that all of these presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. So how many presidents were there? There were two, because Daniel was one of three. So there were two other presidents and princes. Well, that was 120. So there are 122 people looking to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So they couldn't find anything against him concerning the kingdom, concerning his work. Now, if I reflect on my own work, and I'm sure someone pretty easily could start to pick holes on some of the things that I perhaps do and don't do as well as perhaps I ought to. But when these 122 men sought to find reason against Daniel concerning his work, they could find nothing. He was faithful. There was no error or fault found in him. And so what they do in verse 5 is go to find it, the end of verse 5, concerning the law of his God. They're going to use his faith, his religion, to use that against him. Now, of course, we're reminded once again of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Young people, if you're making a note, John 19 and verse 4, "I find no fault in him," we have next to Daniel 6 and verse 4. This chapter is pointing to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that Daniel 6 is set in the context of Daniel 5. Now, though the story's completely moved on, Daniel 5 was a great feast. It was a bringing to the end, the close of the Babylonian period. And it was a feast that was reprobate. It was entirely against the God of Israel. And yet, we contrast it not to see any similarities, but to see every difference between the Last Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And following the Last Supper was his trial and his death and resurrection. And so following Daniel chapter 5, the last feast, Belshazzar's feast, the last feast of Babylon, we see the story of the death and resurrection, as it were, of Daniel. And it's brought about, isn't it, because of the law of the Medes and Persians. So they're looking, aren't they, to find reason that they can accuse him concerning the law of his God. And they come, verse 6, these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. And we see once again echoes of the trial of the Lord Jesus. And the margin tells us that they came tumultuously. That's how the tumult came to the trial of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 27. This tumultuous group, it's not just, they don't just choose a few representatives. 122 of them turn up at Darius's door as a great tumult, as a storm crashing through. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And so the law is signed according, verse 8, to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. So what happens? There are two laws. they can see that Daniel will always obey, the end of verse 5, the law of his God. And so what they're going to try to do now is use verse 8, the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not, to trick Daniel. And we're reminded, aren't we, of two laws that were shown in Scripture. Just keep a marker, but come to Romans chapter 8. The young people this weekend, we've seen in Daniel chapter 4, links into Galatians 5 and 6, which were our readings today, about how we need to ensure that we're partaking of the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. And Romans 8 picks up this theme. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, that is the law of his God in Daniel 6 and verse 5, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So what's the law of sin and death in Daniel 6? Well, it's the law which alters not. It's the law of the Medes and Persians. It's a decree that is going to bring Daniel, according to natural laws, to his death. The only thing that can change it is if God intervenes. And it's the only thing that can change our lives, brethren and sisters, that has changed our lives. Without the law of our God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, and the law of the Spirit of life, you and I are dead in trespasses and sins. But because of the memorial feast that we're going to remember this morning, we're going to partake of, in us is the law of the Spirit of life. It's made us free from the law of sin and death. And so when we come back to Daniel 6, we come back in hope that Daniel is not going to be held in the grave of the lion's den. Now, we can't pass over that although the decree is signed, the character of Daniel does not change. Verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his bed 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, brethren and sisters, this is remarkable, and it shows us once again the character of the Lord Jesus, who knew what was going to come upon him. Just keep a marker, but let's just pick up a couple of these references to the Lord Jesus to see how amazing Daniel chapter 6 really is. So John 13 and verse 1, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Supper being ended, he carries on and he continues to do the Father's will. When Jesus knew. And he goes, doesn't he? Keep a marker in John, but come to Matthew 26. Where you remember that he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays, doesn't he? And we're told, verse 44 of Matthew 26, that he left his disciples and went away again and prayed the third time. Daniel, we remember, prayed 3 times a day. I asked you to keep a marker in John. Just come back to John 18. Where we see that the Lord Jesus crosses the brook Kidron. And we're told in verse 2 that Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. He went to the place he always did. He did aforetime. He did oft times. And so his betrayer knew where he was. And so back in the record in Daniel chapter 6, the betrayer knows, the betrayers know where Daniel is. And they know very well that this man is going to be in his upper chamber with the windows open as he faces west, as he looks out over towards Jerusalem. He's going to be kneeling on his knees and praying to his father, as he always did. And these men knew that they would have 90 occasions to catch him. They didn't need to get him just once. They could build the evidence. And as the betrayers were there, no doubt they involved their families, their wives, their children. The watchers looked as they saw Daniel doing as he always did, windows open 3 times a day, praying to his God. And we ask the question, well, what was it that he was praying? Well, when we see a man with his windows open to Jerusalem, we know he knows his scriptures so well. In 1 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon prays for the temple, when the temple is being opened, he says to those who are at that service that if, as a nation, they would sin and they would do perversely and commit wickedness and would be taken into captivity, 1 Kings 8 and verse 48 tells us that if you do that, if you're in captivity, so return to thee with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray to thee toward their land, which thou gavest their fathers, the city which you chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer, and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. Now look at the end of verse 45 of 1 Kings 8. That phrase again, maintain their cause. The word cause, the margin tells you, is maintain their right. Or if you look it up in Strong's, it says maintain their judgment. What does Daniel's name mean? God is my judge. For all the difficulties Daniel is now going through, he knows these men are watching. He's seen the spies in the houses opposite, down the streets, across in other streets. He knows very well what they're trying to do. But he knows that he's got to maintain his judgment. He's got to maintain his cause of praying for the exiles to return. Then hear thou their prayer. Maintain thy cause. Verse 50. Forgive thy people. This is verse 50, you see, in Daniel chapter 9, which is in this same year as Daniel chapter 6. And so Daniel wants the people to return. He wants sins to be able to be forgiven. He needs the temple to be opened and rebuilt by the likes of Ezra and Nehemiah. And so he keeps praying, as he has always done. Brethren and sisters, would we? Do we? Do we ensure that our prayers keep going in our life 3 times a day to the God of heaven, that we might be amongst those who can go to Zion and begin the work of building? Come back to Daniel chapter 6, where we notice that the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, verse 17. The king sealed it with his own signet. That reminds us of Matthew 27, verse 66, where the soldiers were sent and they made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. Matthew 27, verse 66, young people, if you're making a note still. We notice a key word now in the second half of this chapter is the word deliver. We have it in verse 14, in verse 16, in verse 20, in verse 27, twice. How is God going to be able to deliver Daniel? And how is Daniel able to cope in this situation where, for all his faith, he's about to be put in a den of lions? Starving, hungry lions. And I'd suggest to you, and I'll show you why shortly, hundreds of them. And he's about to be put in that den. How does he cope? Well, we said already, he knows his scriptures. Will you come with me to Psalm 7? Let me just show you two or three psalms that give us an indication of how Daniel was going to cope in these circumstances and how you and I need to be able to draw comfort and support and help in our lives from the scriptures that we might be able to cope. So Psalm 7, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. So the psalmist is praying that he will be delivered from the lion, from his enemies who are as the lions. Just come to Psalm 34. You remember that the angel is sent into the lion's den to stop the lion's mouths. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, verse 10. But they that seek Yahweh shall not want any good thing. And so, verse 18, we read that Yahweh is nigh to them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That's the spirit of Daniel. That's the excellent spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Psalm 35, verse 17. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destruction, my darling from the lions. And so we wonder that Daniel is able to recall these psalms as he's walked along death row to the lion's den. And we're reminded too of Psalm 22, which is the psalm, isn't it, that speaks of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can picture the Lord Jesus, which Daniel 6 is pointing towards, as he takes on all of our sins, as he carries our burden, all the sins of all mankind are laid upon him. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime and thou hearest not, in the night season and not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. And so the psalm is a psalm of deliverance. Verse 8. He trusted on Yahweh that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And for the Lord Jesus, he had to go through the trial of the cross, We recall, verse 16, that dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Yahweh, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. And so Daniel, back in Daniel chapter 6, is going to be delivered from the mouth of the lions. Darius comes to the pit in the morning and he says, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel 6 verse 21. Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they've not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. Daniel's character, this excellent spirit, points forward, doesn't it, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's taken out, verse 23, of the den. The grave of lions could not hold him because innocency was found in him. And as we recognize that this points to the Lord Jesus, so, brethren and sisters and young people, as we take the blessing of these emblems now, we need not worry. We've heard of a brother falling asleep. The grave of lions will not hold us. We'll be brought out of that den because of the work of the Lord Jesus, the altogether innocent one, in whom was the most excellent spirit. And for all of our trials and challenges today, reflect on the scriptures to support and help us. Know that the angel of the Lord will stand with us. I want us to go to one more reference. Just keep a marker in Daniel 6. We'll just come here to finish our thoughts. But come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul, I'm sure, is inspired to pick up on Daniel chapter 6. He says in 2 Timothy 4, our time is gone, so we won't go to detail here. Verse 16, at my first defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, as they would have done Daniel. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. That's what happened to Daniel in the lion's den. The angel was sent to shut the lion's mouths. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the message might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me to his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Why was Paul delivered out of the mouth of the lion, out of the mouth of Rome? Why? Halfway through verse 17, that the preaching might be fully known through Paul and that all Gentiles might hear. So come back to Daniel 6. Why is Daniel brought out of the lion's den? That Darius might write to all people, nations and languages, verse 25. Peace be multiplied to you. You need to know and fear and tremble the God of Daniel. He is the living God. He, verse 27, delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? And so, brethren and sisters and young people, as we draw our thoughts together this morning and for this weekend, we all want to be delivered from the power of the lions, from the power of Babylon and Rome. So today, let's ensure we're amongst the likes of Daniel, those with an excellent spirit, who keep doing what we've done aforetime. Praying to the Lord our God, laying our lives out before him, that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he may see in you and I something of himself, something of a life of faithfulness that's tried to hold fast to the truth, that we might not be with those, verse 24, who the king commanded that he bring those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, with them their children and their wives. How many men were there? Do you remember? 122. They're cast into the den of lions with their children and their wives. You're talking upwards of 500, perhaps 1,000 people. And when they go into the lion's den, all of their bones are broken in pieces. And so we remember, don't we, that the psalmist has promised us, the Lord God has promised us, that although we might have afflictions today, if we cry to the Lord, he will hear. He will deliver us out of all our troubles. Because Yahweh is nigh to those who have a broken heart. He will save such as have a contrite spirit, an excellent spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's not going to be easy. But Yahweh delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.